we discuss the next malacha, that's the malacha of lash, of kneading. So there's really one major question that we have to deal with, and that is, what is the precise moment in time that one violates this malacha? So the reason why this is somewhat confusing is because there are different parts, different stages of the lisha process. So the Gemara singles out that there are two potentially different moments in time that a person can violate the issur of lisha. One is at the time of an asinus hamayim, when he takes the flour and he puts it together with the water, just the mere coming into contact of flour and water, or other types of things which are similar to flour and water, that's considered to be an act of lisha. Or the act of lisha is violated at the time of gibul, when it's actually mixed together. You take a spoon, you take a kneading rolling pin, you can see how well I know how to knead things, and you mamash work them together and make them into a real mixture together. That's the moment of lisha. So we're going to see that this is a big, major machlekes at Tanoim, machlekes that we've shown him, and it's going to be very, very relevant to halacha lemaisa. So most of what we're going to talk about today is going to revolve around this basic question, just precisely what is the pinpointing the moment in time when one violates the issur of lisha. So the Gemara presents this in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos and at the very end of Masechah Shabbos as a machlekes at the time between Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Sometimes it gets confusing because the Rishonim referred to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda as Ribi, so it's a Rosh Teva. So sometimes you see Rebbe and Ribi, so people get a little smishy. Well, who's saying what? But basically, what happens is as follows: Rebbe holds, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds, that the moment of the Sinas Hamayim is the critical moment. That's the time when one violates Lisha. And Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, Eino chayav ad sheyagabel. You only chayav for lisha at the later stage when you actually mix them together. Just the mere coming into contact is not sufficient. Eino chayav ad sheyagabel. So there is a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes in Rishonim, within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, which many Rishonim do paskin like, within Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda's sheet to the Eino chayav ad sheyagabel, there's a further question: what if you have a type of a food that doesn't really do such a good gibul? You cannot even physically do gibul. You take a little solid, you take a liquid, and you try to mix it and mix it in from today to tomorrow. It's never really going to form a clump together. It's not going to be like dough, which is going to actually become one unit, one entity. So what would Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda say about that? So according to Rabbi, we know, according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, that the moment of truth is the moment of an Asinus Hamayim. It doesn't matter whether it's a bar gibul, whether it's a lar bar gibul, just an Asinus Hamayim is a mechayev of lisha. But according to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, who holds that Eino chayev ad sheyagabel, what would Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda say about something which is not physically feasible to do gibul on? So this is a machlekes that ties in the Rambam. It's really a machlekes in the Gemara, a machlekes in Rishonim, how to read the maskanas of Gemara. But Tosfos holds that according to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, on something which is a labar gibul, so then Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda agrees to Rabbi that the moment of truth is Nesidus Hamayim. When does Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda insist on gibul? That's something which is a bar gibul, something you can't be megabel. So then everybody agrees that Nesidus Hamayim is the mechayim. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam reads the Maskaras of Gemara that in something which is a labar gibul, so there's no issur of lisha, at least without Torah. That according to Yossi bar Yehuda, there's only one moment of lisha that's critical. That's the moment of gibul. If you can't reach that point, and it's not physically feasible to form into a clump, so then there will not be a chiv of lisha in a Torah according to Yossi bar Yehuda. So again, so we have a machlekes at Tanoim under normal circumstances, something like flour and water, where there are two possible stages, where there is the possibility of Nesina Samayim and gibul. Machlekes Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, what's the key point? What's the moment of truth for the issur of lisha? And then within Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda say about something which is a labar gibul? What's the nekudas of machlekes between Tosfos and the Rambam? What's the lumdus? What are they arguing about? So it appears that they're arguing about the following question as to what exactly is the proper biur in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. The Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, Eino chayav ad sheyagabel. So one can understand that in one of two ways. Why does Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda deny Rebbe Shita? Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda hold that a ready din asinus hamayim is sufficient? So one can present it in one of two ways. Either one can present that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda also holds that asinus hamayim is something. Asinus hamayim is also part of an act of lisha, but it's not the completion of the act of lisha. It's only like a chatzi malacha. So if I do only a chatzi malacha, it's like the person does a malacha of carrying. So the first Mishnah in Shabbos tells us there are two parts in the malacha. There's a kira and there's an anocha. If I only do a kiyu without doing anach, I'm potter. When I tell you, there's no issur. I only did a chatzi malacha. So too, when it comes to lisha, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds that lisha is an ongoing process, and there are two stages of lisha. There's the stage of nesidus hamayim, and then there's the stage of gibul. So the person only does nesidus hamayim and doesn't do gibul, so he didn't finish the job yet. So he's potter because he only did a chatzi malacha. So that's one way of understanding Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda also holds that in theory, the Nesidus Hamayim is part of the lisha process, but it didn't complete the process. Well, maybe you can learn. Maybe you can learn that Rabbi Yosef Yudah disagrees fundamentally with Rabbi, and he holds that Nesina Samayim is nothing. That's not called Lisha. That's called taking water and putting it on top of flour. That the definition of Lisha is the moment of Gibul. So Nesina Samayim is not the Haskola Samalach according to Rabbi Yosef Yudah. It's a nothing. It's Mamar Zero. So my nafkamina, at the end of the day, you're potter according to Rabbi Yosef Yudah. So who cares whether we're mad doing the Lomdisha terms that the Nesina Samayim is a Tchila Samalach without the Gemara Malacha, or whether Nesina Samayim is nothing. So this is the nafkamina Ladina. If you have something which doesn't have a Gibul, something which doesn't have the possibility to reach the stage of Gibul. So if you define Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi the Sheep as such, that Nesina Samayim is also part of an act of Lisha, it's just that something which you can do Gibul to, close mind, you didn't do Gibul, you didn't complete the Malacha. So that only makes sense on something which is a Bar Gibul, something which is not a Bar Gibul. So it's not Shaykh to reach Gibul. There is no end of the Malacha. You did all that's necessary. Whatever you could do, you did already. So even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah would concede that Yechayev for the moment of Nesina Samayim. That's Shittas HaToysis. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds the other side of the Chagira. The Rambam holds that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, so the Nesina Samayim is nothing. The Nesina Samayim is meaningless. And since the Nesina Samayim is meaningless, it's meaningless both for something which is a Bar Gibul, as well as something which is a Lab Bar Gibul. You can't be Chayav. It's not a Malacha. It's worthless. It's meaningless what you're doing. So it's not Shayach for you to be Chayav. So Chol Panim, we have really a double Machlekes now in front of us. We have a Machlekes at Tanoim between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What's the moment of truth for the Malacha of Lisha? Is it Nesina Samayim or Gibul? And then we have a Machlekes Tais in the Rambam within Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What would he say about something which is a Lab Bar Gibul? With a Lomdash of Akira to try to explain away what the story is all about. How do we paskin la locha in the Shaila? So the first question is, how do we paskin la locha in the Machlekes Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? This is the Machlekes Rebbe Shonim, how to paskin. Normally the locha is like Rebbe, locha Rebbe Mechaveroi. But here there seem to be other Gemaras that seem to support Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Stamishnayas that support Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. So at the end of the day, there's the Machlekes Rebbe Shonim. Probably most of the Rebbe Shonim paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. And some of the Rishon, the Sefer Trupa, the Paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda HaNosim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are quoted, that we're not sure exactly which way we Paskin. And then, within assuming that we Paskin like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, we're further not sure whether we Paskin like Tosel or Rama. So we spent 15 minutes talking about all the Shahs, but Elisha, we're still not sure what the answer is. So the answer to the question is, when exactly is the moment of Lisha? There are two possible moments of Lisha. According to some Rishon, and one day in Shulchan Aruch, the Nesina Samayim is always the moment of Lisha. According to the other day in Rishonim, so Gibul is always the moment of Lisha. Some which is a lot by Gibul is a further Shaila, but then maybe everyone agrees in the Nesina Samayim. So therefore, the halacha, we're going to be machmir and everything. We're going to assume, we suffix, that there are two different moments of time in terms of Lisha. It's either going to be the moment of Nesina Samayim, or it's going to be the moment of Gibul. We're going to be machmir for both. What exactly does that mean to be machmir for both? Who's doing Lisha today? What is the Shaila? So the Gemara has the very end of Masechet Shabbos, somewhat of a complicated sugya. But the Gemara talks about the possibility of permitting Lisha under certain limited circumstances if Lisha is done with a Shinoi. Now this touches on something that we mentioned yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the 1 o'clock Shirim. The general principle of Shinoi, Kiliyach Hayad, not the Shabbos, usually Kiliyach Hayad takes things and turns them out of Yisurim Deraisa into Yisurim Derabbanan. Every once in a while you find that if you do things Kiliyach Hayad, it becomes Mamish Mutter. So this is one possible example. Gemara discussed the possibility of Elisha Shalakiderach. We'll have to talk about what exactly that means. But if you have Elisha Shalakiderach, so under certain circumstances that may become actually Mutter Lechatchila. So the question is, what exactly would that mean? How would one even go about performing Elisha Shalakiderach? So here the Tshuva Sadeshen points out in this Tshuva, Tshuva Sadeshen wrote the best Tshuvas because there were no Shailas. He made up the Shailas. He had Shikul Torahs to say, so he made himself Shailas. And then he had a Tshuva. That's why Tshuva was so exciting. So comes the Tshuva Sadeshen and says that in order to be mapter in Issur of Lisha with the Shinoi, now you have to be very, very careful. You have to be pinpoint precision because you have to perform the Shinoi at the right time. If a person does a Shinoi in Hilchos Shabbos, the Shinoi has to coincide with the moment that the Malach is taking place. Let's say, for example, imagine if a person is going to carry something with a Shinoi. So if I carry something with a Shinoi, let's say I put something on my head or something, so that's considered to be a Kiliyach Hayad, because at the moment that I'm doing the Malacha, I'm doing a Derech Shinoi. But what if I'm inside my house, I'm inside my room, and I want to take something outside. So I pick up my baseball bat, I want to carry it outside, but I know I'm not supposed to carry, there's no Erev, I know I'm not supposed to carry in a normal way. I'm supposed to carry in a normal way, but okay. So I want to carry to the Achiyat. So what do? So I pick up the baseball bat in a funny way. I stand on my head and I pick up the baseball bat. And then I walk, and I stop right before I walk outside the house. And then I continue walking in a normal fashion. And that's not called a shiri b'shas ha'malacha. The akira that I did, the fact that I did an akira of the baseball bat 20 minutes ago in an abnormal fashion, that wasn't part of the malacha. The akira that's part of the malacha is those last steps when I stop and I start to walk again. That's called the akira. When I arrive outside, that's called hanacha. And I'm holding the bat in my hand. So that's called the malacha kederach. The fact that I did something shalom kederach 20 minutes earlier, what does that do to anything? Let's say a person's going to turn on a light. So if you turn on a light, shalom kederach, so that's considered to be shalom kederach. But what if before I get to turn on the light, I do 5 somersaults? What I'm getting from my over here to get the light, and then I get the light, I turn on the light normally. That's shalom kederach, that's a meshugana. That's not shalom kederach. Shalom kederach has to be at the moment of the malacha. So the Tshuva Sedeshin says now we have to be very, very careful, because whereas most malachas, we know exactly when the malacha is taking place. Here by Lisha, we have very unclear, very, very vague in the Gemara and the Mishnah, when exactly is the moment of truth concerning the malacha of Lisha. So since in Shulchan Aruch we pass in that both the truth, that we have to be cheshesh for Rabbi Yehuda Nosi and for Rabbi Yosef Behuda and for Taiz and Ram, cheshesh for everybody. So therefore one has to be careful before one is matir any shini and a chas Lisha, that you have to do the shini at all appropriate times. Any moment that may be the moment of truth for the malacha of Lisha, you have to do it derech shini. What does that mean practically? So says the Tshuva Sedeshin, let's say I want to do a type of Elisha on Shabbos, and I want to invoke the Heter for the Achayad. So I have to do a shini at the time of Nesina Samayim. Because if I don't do a shini at the time of Nesina Samayim, if I do a shini later on, that may be too late, according to Rabbi Danossi. So according to Rabbi Danossi, you must focus the shini at the time of Nesina Samayim. So what's going to be my shini at the time of Nesina Samayim? So the Gemara at the end of Shabbos speaks about the shini in the Seder HaDvarim. There are different ways of mixing together the solid and the liquid. Usually, Lisha includes by taking a solid and a liquid and putting them together. So, if you mishana with the Seder at the Varim is. So, normally you put the liquid in first, then you put the solid in. So, if you do it the other way around, that's considered to be a shinoi. So, first you put in the solid, then you put in the liquid. That constitutes a shinoi in terms of Nesina Samayim. It says that Tshuva Sedeshin, that's not going to be enough. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, which is probably most of the Rishonim, you did the shini too early. You have to do another shini at the time of the Gibel. So when you come to Gibel, you have to do another shini. What's the shini going to be at the Shas Gibel? So the Gemara speaks about doing a Gibel for the Achayat. So the Gemara speaks about doing a Gibel by Benar Bekli. Instead of mixing it with a spoon in a normal fashion, you just shake it up a little bit. So may not do such a good job. That's not why it's a shini. Or the Gemara speaks about a shini of Shasi Ve'erev. Instead of doing a mixing motion, doing a crisscross type of emotion, which again may not do such a great job, maybe that would qualify as a shinui. So the Gemara speaks about different possible shinuyim at the time of the Gibel as well. So says the Tshuva Sedeshin, that's what we pass in the halacha, that all possible shinuyim are necessary, because if you don't do all shinuyim, then you're going to be stuck. Then you're going to end up, you may have done the moment of Lisha in a normal fashion, which of course, according to some Mishnah, would end up to be an actual Issim in a Torah. So one has to be careful before one is mounted any Lisha, the Shinoi, to make sure the Shinoi is taking place in the Sinus Amayim, as well as at the time of the Gibel. So let's just give just some practical examples of where some of these halachas play out. So the most common example is the issue of making baby cereal on Shabbos. So usually what happens is the first couple of months babies just nursed, or they just take bottles, and then afterwards they put them on solid foods. So the first solid foods that the kids always put on is some kind of a oatmeal ricer, right? The rice mush or something. So most kids are smart, they usually last for about 3 days. If you were ever trying to taste it, you'd see it's a chiddush that they even last for 3 days on it. My mother-in-law comes from a different school of thought. She grew up in Yerushalayim, in the old, you know, old Yerushalayim, the old Sfirat HaGederah. So before the Medina, she grew up. They didn't believe in any rice cereals, no oatmeal cereals. So I remember when Tova was a little baby, so she would give her succulent and filter fish and a different stuff. But most regular people today, most pediatricians today, wouldn't recommend that. Anyway, so the shayla becomes, what do you do? How do you make these types of cereals on Shabbos? Are you allowed to make them? So usually you make these cereals, you open up the box, and you take out some of the powder, you mix it with water, mix it around a little bit, and sure, you have a little bit of a mush. A little chayr, that's a real serious problem. That's a shayla deraisa of Lisha. So here, if we can invoke two different shinuyim, then maybe it's going to be mutter. So what possible shinuyim can we do? So let's do the shinuyim in the Seder HaDvarim. So the Gemara says that if it's normal to put in the liquid first, then you put in the solid. I'm sorry, it's normal to put in the liquid, so then when you do it on Shabbos, you put the solid in first. The problem with the baby cereals is that there is no real seder. It's not like the way Chazal described it, it was a seder mesuyim to do it in such a manner. Some people do it one way, some people do it another way. So is there any real shinui ha-seder b'chlal? So this was the machlekes ha-poskim. So some poskim will say that there is no shinui. How are you gonna declare it to be a shinui? If on Tuesday you do it one way, on Thursday you do it another way, half the people in the world do it one way, half do it another way. How can you declare anything to be a shinui? So everything is kederet. That would be a big problem. It's according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which some of the Rishonim say, but true, one day in Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that, that we have to be chayshish, that you need a shinui b'shas b'sidus amayim, and we cannot create a shinui b'shas b'sidus amayim, because everything is kederet. That's going to be a very serious problem, a serious monkey wrench in terms of making the baby cereal on Shabbos. So there are other posts people make. It'll say enough that if we don't have an official shinui, so we can rely on the shinui of Chazal. That since the Bizman Chazal, the Seder Advarim was usually liquid and the solid, so if you do it the other way around, maybe that's considered to be like an objective type of a shinui. There are others who say that, what do you mean there's no shinui? There is a shinui. Whatever it says in the box, so you do the opposite. So it says on the who makes this with Gerber's. So you look at the back of the box, and in the back, you see how long ago my kids are. Look at the back of the Gerber's box, and whatever it tells you to do, so then you do the opposite. So if you do the opposite, that's considered to be a shidduch. So new pesachin for Shabbos. Rabbi Gerber became the new paisik in terms of what's considered to be an act of lishah. Very, very strange. So you have different permutations in the poskim. Is there any realistic shidduch you can have? Do we throw up a hand and say there's no shidduch? You have a tough luck, you can't make it. Or do we say no, we can create a shidduch, either the shidduch of Chazal or the shidduch in the back of the cereal box? And then we run into another problem, perhaps a more serious problem, is that even if we could somehow finagle our way around the first shidduch, what about the second shidduch? And the second shinui, according to most who show them, is much more important than the first shinui. It was probably me'ikra adir, the Shekhar probably paskins, like the second opinion, that the real shinui is necessary at the time of the gibel. So what are you going to do at the time of the gibel? So there are different possibilities. So one possibility is menar b'kli. So you take the powder and you put it with the water, and then you start shaking it up. If you start now, by the time your kid is bar mitzvah, it'll become a baby cereal. It's not going to work. And you try it this way. Not an hour's worth. So what else? You have to do some kind of a mixing. So what are you going to do? You can try shasiv eirav. So you can try to do a crisscross motion. So the Chazon Ish has a chumrah that when you do crisscross motion, what that means is you can't keep on doing crisscross. Keep doing that's too close to a normal way of doing it. You have to do a motion, then take the knife out, then go back in again and go this way, then take it out again. You know what I mean? That'll be your exercise for the week. So again, you'll probably take your pastor by mitzvah, perhaps by the time your grandchildren by mitzvah, you'll finish making the cereal that way. So it's probably not going to work too well either. Then you have other possible shinuyim that the boss can discuss. Maybe you use your finger. So I recommend two things about that. Number one is the second thing I was going to recommend, make sure you wash your finger very well beforehand, roughly with some hand sanitizer or something, and wait for it to dry. And then afterwards, do it that nobody sees you. Anyway, it's a little bit difficult to pull off a proper shinui in terms of this baby cereal. To make matters a little bit worse in terms of the baby cereal, that many posts can say that even if you get all the shinuis right, there still may be a problem. Why? Because the Gemara at the end of Shabbos speaks about two different types of mixtures vis-a-vis Elisha. There's what's called a blila ava, and there's what's called a blila raka. A blila ava means a thick, doughy type of a mixture. A blila raka means more of a pourable type of a batter. So like the mashal, a blila ava would be when you're making matzah. You're making matzah, make a big clump of dough, that's called a blila ava. When you're making pancakes, that's called a blila raka. So the Gemara seems to say that the issa d'araisa of Lisha only applies to a blila ava, like the making of dough. That's the real choice to do in the past. That's the issa d'araisa of Lisha. The fact that there's also an issa of Lisha on a pancake, the batter, that would only be mid-derabbanan. So there are many poskim who say that when do we have all these kulas that you could just change the order and change the way you're doing kibbul, all the story, all these kulas only make sense when you're dealing with Lisha mid-derabbanan, when you're dealing with the blila raka. But if you're dealing with a blila ava, so that's a much more serious problem. That's a problem of deraisa. Problem of deraisa. So there's no help. There's none of these schools are going to work. That's a machlekes ha-poskim. So look, most of the time when you make these cereals, so very often it's a blila ava, depending on how much water you put in. So here the poskim say, if you really want to make these cereals on Shabbos, you should try to put more water in. Because if you put water in, it makes it more liquidy, makes it more delicious. If it wasn't delicious enough to begin with, and it makes it watery. The more water it is, the better chance that it's going to be a blila raka. So therefore, the chachila has a story like this. The chachila shal the chachila shal the chachila. Those who don't have to make these cereals on Shabbos, So I should try to avoid making these cereals. The problem is you can't make them before Shabbos. They get rotten. They get achi if you make them before Shabbos. So those who don't need these cereals and you want to feed your kids other things, matay. Those who really feel the necessity to make these cereals, so should try to be careful about three things. They should try to make the constituency of it somewhat liquidy. So try to put a little bit more water in to make it a little raka, if at all possible. That's not feasible. The baby will need it. So there are mekilim even by blue ava. I want you to try very hard to make the best shinuyim as possible. So once you make a shinuyim in the Nesina Samayim, whatever shinuyim you're going to pick up on that, and then once you try to make a shinuyim in the Gibel as well, whatever that's going to be. That's the first most common example that we have today in terms of issues of Lisha. There was another important issue in terms of Lisha. This is a big machleik between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, and that's the issue of making egg salad and tuna salad and those types of things on Shabbos. What's the issue? These are also issues of Lisha. When you're allowed to chop up tuna fish on Shabbos, as we mentioned yesterday, if there's no toichen on tuna fish, it's not going to do the karka, or there's no toichen on eggs, you're allowed to chop it up. You shouldn't use like a official grinder or a real official chopper. You can use a fork to cut up your tuna and your eggs into small pieces, even if it's not right before the meal. There's no way to fit toichen on that. And now I want to mix it with mayonnaise. So when I mix it with mayonnaise, maybe that's a problem of Lisha, because the mayonnaise is taking the pieces of tuna, the pieces of egg salad, and making them into a mush together. Maybe that should pose a problem of Lisha. So the Chassidim are very makel about this. The Chassidim are shtibbles. They make egg salad on a Shabbos afternoon, and they assume that this is mutter. Why is it mutter? So the Shmir Shabbos quotes a whole series of different svaras, perhaps why it's mutter. So one possible svara is that maybe Lisha doesn't apply to the egg salad because the eggs are really edible beforehand. So like a similar svara that we saw the other day by Teichin, that most malachas are you take something that's not really fit for use and you make it in such a way that it's usable now. You take the raw food and you cook it up. That's usually the malacha that we associate with. Or according to the Rosh, you take something which was unusable and you crush it up. But you take an apple and cut it into little pieces, so the Rosh claims that there's no taking in that. We happen not to pass like the Rosh, but that svara is a potential svara that may be relevant to you. So that's a Bishma Shabbos, close to Shlomo Zalman, such a svara, that when you have egg, the egg was edible already before, the tuna fish was edible before, you're just putting it on to make it a little bit better, so you make it the SSAs, so that wouldn't be considered to be a problem. You have other possible reasons why perhaps it should be mutter. And many folks could disagree, some suggested that it would be a problem of Lisha. What type of problem of Lisha would it be if it is? It sounds to me like it's a blue ava. Let's say it's a blue raka, but I guess it depends how mushy your tuna fish salad is. It sounds at first, the tzia seems to me that it's a blue ava, which would make it more serious, which would mean you have to really do very significant shinuyim. So what would be shinuyim? Let's say a person, rather than putting, normally when you make tuna salad, so you open up the can of tuna, you put the tuna, that's a different question, not for now, you take the tuna out of your pre-opened can, or you figure out a way to open it, whatever it is, and you put the tuna on the plate, then you put the mayonnaise on top of the plate. That would be the normal way of doing it. So on Shabbos, you have to do it the other way around. So you have to take mayonnaise, yeshiva should take a mayonnaise, pour the mayonnaise into the bowl, and then take the tuna fish and put it into the mayonnaise. That would be a good shinoy of the sinus amai. What about a shinoy in terms of the lisha? So you couldn't do it in the normal fashion. You have to figure out, I'm going to try to shake it, I don't know what you do exactly. You have to figure out a way to mush together the tuna and the mayonnaise in such a way that's considered to be a shalai kederach. So again, so those, some are making out right that there's no lisha b'chlau in the tuna and the mayonnaise, and others are machmir. Let's say you have two things which don't mix b'chlau. Let's say you have salad, I want to put salad dressing on top of the salad. That's not cool, the lisha. The salad dressing is not making the pieces of tomatoes and cucumbers clumping to one another. It's only considered to be lisha when the pieces and the particles clump together. If I just pour some dressing on top of something, that's not called lisha. So I remember we once had a shot about making coleslaw on Shabbos. So sometimes when you make coleslaw, depending on the thickness of the coleslaw, sometimes the coleslaw will actually stick together. Sometimes not. I remember when we first got married, so my wife used to make coleslaw on Shabbos. She would just take the pre-made coleslaw, make the coleslaw, take the bags of dough of coleslaw, and throw some mayonnaise and some, spices onto it or something. So somebody ate my house on Friday night, and they didn't want to eat the coleslaw. They said it was an issue of Lisha. So I thought that was a joke. I thought that it wasn't Lisha, because I thought that the pieces weren't really stuck together. It was more of a salad dressing. She put down the mayonnaise in it. So the guy went around all day, all week in the Beis Medrash, asking different rabbanim, but I didn't think it was a problem of Lisha. So I thought that was ridiculous. I said, it depends on the coleslaw. You have to read the coleslaw. So he can't just answer his coleslaw problem. So Rebbetzin Plainer says it's a problem, and Rebbetzin Plainer says it's not a problem. It's a Metziah Shiloh. Is it clumped together? If it really clumps together, that you pick up one piece of coleslaw and the rest of it slumps a little, that may be potentially a problem. Otherwise, it won't be a problem. Then just to conclude, there's another situation where the lechayr is no leash at all. If something starts as a liquid, you put a little solid and it remains a liquid. Let's say you want to make the chocolate milk on Shabbos. That's not leisha, because the idea of leisha is you take the flour and the water, now it becomes a clump. So this is not even a blila racha. This is nothing. This is a liquid, which now has chocolate powder floating around it. So the chazanish had a chumra that you have to be careful when you make chocolate milk, that sometimes there's a problem because it clumps up at the bottom. If the chocolate pieces that clump on the bottom, so that's considered to be a blila, either rock or oven, whatever it is, and that would be a potential problem of leisha. So the chari depends on the type of the quality of the chocolate milk. So if you have a cheapy, certain types of brands of chocolate milk, that kind of maybe had a very broad end of it, don't mix so well, so it would be a problem. If you have a higher quality chocolate milk, but it won't be a problem unless you make it as such. And some people will like to do it that way. I remember I was once teaching for Shabbos and Stern, so I mentioned this chumra. I said for normal people who make chocolate milk and mix it well, and don't want them to be clumps at the bottom, so that would be okay. One of the girls raised her hand and says, no, but some people like that it should be chocolatey because then it tastes yummy at the bottom, then you have to put this chocolate at the bottom. So I was talking to people who were 20 years old, so I asked them, how many people like this? Like 50 hands went up in the air. They all left. These may be your wife one day, so... That's the minute. So those who have the custom of making chocolate clumps on the bottom should be careful. Shouldn't do that on Shabbos. Those who want to just have a regular, that's this quick. What's it? What? Consistent. What's the thing? What's the bunny? What's the guy?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the guy? The guy. He still has that. He still drinks it up in one slurp. Okay. So yeah. For the free thing is there. It hasn't changed much. Okay. So if you drink it up one slurp and no clumps up on the bottom, then one can assume that would be this. Okay.
What does Rabbi Shavi say at the end of the day on the picture?